To get started, I would like to read a sign, or the words from a sign that is outside of a cathedral in England. If you were listening to NPR this morning, you might have heard a segment on this. It's the welcome sign outside of Coventry Cathedral in England. And part of the news, it kind of went viral a little bit on Twitter this week. And then people were trying to track down where it originated because they got it from somewhere else. And ironically, for us, I think where they think it came from was from a little tiny church in Wales, which we have a tie to being the Church of St. David's, where St. David is the patron saint of Wales. And so we talk on our sign, we read on our sign, and our kind of mission and vision here at St. David's is where we warmly welcome all. And that's nice because it's a very short thing you can put on the sign. And here is a little bit, an extrapolation of that I found wonderful. And so I wanted to start with that. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, widowed, gay, confused, filthy rich, comfortable, or dirt poor. We extend a special welcome to wailing babies and excited toddlers. That one doesn't apply to us so much. We welcome you whether you can sing like Pavarotti or just growl quietly to yourself. You are welcome here if you're just browsing, just woken up, or just got out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury or haven't been to church since Christmas 10 years ago. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome keep fit mums, football dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you are having problems, are down in the dumps, or don't like organized religion. We're not too keen on it either. We offer a welcome to those who think the earth is flat, who work too hard or don't work at all, who can't spell, or are here because Granny is visiting and wanted you to come to the cathedral. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, both, or neither. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, those who had religion shoved down their throat as kids or got lost in the city center and wound up here by mistake. We welcome pilgrims, tourists, seekers, and doubters, and we welcome you. I think that pretty much sums up what at least my intention is when we put on the sign, we warmly welcome all. And we and other parishes like us that have used that idea of welcome as our kind of call sign and as our vision and mission have often received a lot of criticism. And we tend to be criticized because, you know, we don't specifically say we follow Jesus or we believe the Bible or, you know, all these other kinds of things that are the mainstays of Christianity. And the reason is because of course we believe that. That's summed up in the word church. Of course we believe in the Bible. Of course we believe in Jesus Christ as our light in this world, as our God and our Savior, as our Messiah. Those are assumed in what we do as an Episcopal church, though many would criticize that. But what we want to add on top of that is to understand what is the particular nature by which we want to invite people into what we're doing here. And for us, that is a radical welcome. And I find it to be a powerful message because, to be honest, I run into a lot of people, and you've heard me say this before, but I run into a lot of people now in my life and in my world that want nothing to do with church, that just think church is the worst place. And I'll tell you what. In my experience, none of them hate church because of Jesus. None of them hate church because we feed the poor, or clothe the naked, or visit those in prison. No one that I know hates us for any of the stuff that we tout as Christianity. What they hate and what they are burned by and what they are hurt by is the fact that at some point in their lives, they or someone they loved has been rejected and has not been found welcome. That is not who we are. That's not who Christ is. That's not what this church is about. God welcomes all. Christ came for everyone. It's not our job to convince everyone that Christ, as we have received and understand him in his gospel, is the absolute right way to go. Because here's the thing. If I were to ask each and every one of you to write down what it meant to be a Christian, I would get 100 different responses. There would be some common themes, don't get me wrong. There are some things that I think run common in our expression of who we are as Christians. But I promise you, each and every one of us has a slightly different understanding of what this is that we're doing here. And it's not our job to draw a line down those descriptions where this is outside of the church and of God's grace and this is inside of it. Does that make sense? Our job is to receive what God has freely given us, the gift of God's love and grace in the sacrifice, the life, the death, the resurrection of his son, Jesus. That's it. And we are to offer that to the world. There are too many people that think of us as hateful and vindictive and judgmental. And when I read the scriptures, when I read what Jesus says, it's lunacy that we ended up here, to be quite honest. It doesn't surprise me. Because I know my own tendencies. I know my own desire to justify myself and my own desire to be righteous because I am just so good at this thing called church. I'm just so good at this thing called following Jesus. It makes me feel great, and it makes me feel even better when I can find someone not doing it as well as me so I can feel better about myself. But that's sin, guys. That is at the heart of our rebellion and our sin, is when we look at the other and say, you're not good enough. Because I promise you, God looks at that child of God and says, you are good enough because I have declared you so because you are my child, you are my beloved. What this is all about is so that you would know that you have a place here and that you are welcome here. If any of you have had an experience in your life where you feel the church has cast you out or has rejected you or has told you that some aspect of your life or who you are is wrong or defiled or corrupt and needs to be fixed, know that you are no different than me or anyone else that is here. We do need a Savior. And I want to be clear about that. It's not that we're just okay in and of ourselves. What the gospel message is about is that all of us are in need of God's grace. And Christ came to meet us where we are because he knew we couldn't come to him. And what God and what Christ is saving us from is different for all of us. We all have our own expression and our own mastery of sin. But I promise you, it's not my job to tell you what it is. The Holy Spirit is at work and is alive in your life and in mine. And I trust that God is leading you into truth. I have to. Because good Lord, if I'm all you got to lead you into truth, I am very sorry. Really sorry. We're on this journey together, and I think what's so significant about the gospel today is, isn't it amazing the way John describes this? And it is a little, understand that the account of John is a little strange in comparison to the other gospels. And this is a good example of where, when we have multiple accounts of things in the Bible, they don't always match up, right? In the other gospels, we hear about John and Jesus being cousins, right? You know, having a close relationship between Elizabeth and Mary, and then here, John seems to insist that he's never seen this man and has no idea who he is. And there's different ways we can explain that, but I would prefer not to try to explain it away and just try to take it for what it is. This fantastic story where John sees the Spirit of God descend on Jesus, right? Declare him the Messiah. And he heralds, this is the one for whom we've been waiting for. And then the next day, everyone's still standing around hanging out with John. Just take a second and picture that, right? Because the next day he says, oh, and Jesus walks by and he says it again. That's the guy. That's the guy. And finally, two of his disciples go over and talk to him. Doesn't that sound exactly like what this life is like for us? I mean, it's just, we expect there to be this like earth-shattering, momentous occasion, and yet half the time when there is, we miss it, right? Because we're looking at something else. God is in the midst of that. God's going to keep coming back the next day and the day after that until he catches our eye and we decide we want to follow. Jesus doesn't come and say you have to do this or this is the right way to do it. He just walks by. And something about that day caught the disciples' eye, and they walked over and said, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. And they went and they saw, and they became Jesus' disciples. And they started to tell their friends and their family about this man who they found who is the Messiah. And if you asked Peter and Andrew, if you asked them what they thought and expected the Messiah to do, what they thought it meant to follow the Messiah, they would have given you a very different description than what Jesus was planning to do. And that was okay. Jesus still had room for them as his disciples. He still called them to walk with him. And that's the thing. That's all there is to being a Christian, guys. That's it. Come and see. Follow Jesus. That's it. We're all going to do that in a different way. There are probably better and worse ways to do it. I'll grant you that. But we're doing the best we can with what we've got. I'll be honest. I haven't met anyone. So many people get criticized for not being good enough Christians. I just haven't met anyone who isn't doing the best with what they've been given. I've met so many people who feel that the church just isn't a place they can come to because they haven't kind of figured it out yet. They aren't quite sure what they believe. They're not sure if they can really believe this whole Jesus thing. But they want to be here. They want to be a part of what we're doing, and they just feel like they can't be a part of it. And that breaks my heart. Because what this is about is not having it figured out, but it's about coming, tasting, and seeing that the Lord is good. I'm not interested in tricking anyone. I'm not interested in trying to convince you of any certain dogma or doctrine or ideas. I simply want to invite you into a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is our God and who is our Savior. And you might not believe any of that, and that's okay. It's not my job to convince you. It's my job to invite you. It's my job to welcome you, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter what your life is like. We're all at different places in this thing called life. But I do know the one thing that is common among all of us is we need someone to do it with, because we are lost on our own. I have never experienced anything more crushing and more unnerving than the reality of loneliness or feeling like I am on my own. I don't have all the answers. I don't have the right theology for you. You could probably go 5 miles down the street and find someone saying the exact opposite of everything I'm saying today in the pulpit as we speak. I'd like to say they're just wrong and you should listen to me. And I have to check myself and be reminded that that's not what this is. There's something that brought you here. Good Lord. Like I said, brunch is awesome and I would expect all of us to be there on a Sunday morning. But we're here. And yeah, there's some time for brunch after, so maybe we can do both. But the reality is that you are here. You're here on a Sunday morning, giving up your time to be in this place, to worship with us here, to come to this table and to receive the gifts of God in Christ's body and blood. And you could be anywhere else. And for each of us, I'm sure there's a slightly different reason why we're here. There's a place for our kids, and we love that they're here, and we love that they're playing in the back. We love that they have a place to go and to learn about the stories of God and to explore those in children's church and in the godly play exercises that we do. We have the time to gather and to sing and to worship. And I'll be honest, I truly believe God is here amongst us and with us. I know for me, God touches my heart every week that we are here together. And every week I doubt it's going to happen. I doubt the existence of God every week. I doubt that like this is going to be a special morning. And yet I am transformed week in and week out. I am reminded of God's love and grace for me, both as I stand in this pulpit and as I share and join with you in worship. And so welcome, whoever you are and wherever you are. Know that this is a place for you. Know that you will never be cast out, that the only way you could ever not be welcome here is if you decide you don't want to be welcome, if you decide that this isn't the place for you. But as long as you want to be here, you're welcome. I'm not going to tell you that you're too sinful. Good Lord, if anyone was too sinful to be here, I would be out of a job. I wouldn't, like, I'm the worst. I am the worst. And there's a place for me here. I think oftentimes we make this idea of following Jesus so complicated, right? We read through this book we call the Bible, which is really a collection of 66 different books, which if you ever really sit down and read it, like, is the most confusing and bizarre and frustrating text you will probably ever read. But it's familiar to a lot of us. We've read it a lot of times, we've heard it, we've been taught about it, and so it just kind of fits into our worldview. But understand that most of the people we interact with that didn't grow up in church, that don't have this as their foundation, it's lunacy. It's crazy talk. And I don't think that is what's going to really welcome anyone into what we're doing. But I think a message that what we're doing does not exclude them, wherever they are. That if and when they need a place to find rest, to find grace, to find peace, if and when they just need a community, no matter what they believe, that will surround them with love and affirm them and support them, I think that's something that everyone I have ever met is looking for. And the more we can live into that as the people of God, I think the more we will be able to transform this world. Because I think we have been sold a bill of goods that what it means, that the goal of the church is to be better and better Christians, right? To be better and better followers of Jesus. But I hear the words of Isaiah in that and say, that is too small a thing. If all we're gathering here to do is to become better and better people ourselves, if all we're coming here to do is to learn how to love one another better and better, I think it's too small a thing. Because I think what God is calling us to is to be a part of the transformation of this world so that not just us, but that everyone would know that they are loved. Everyone would have the chance on a daily basis to interact with and to be touched by the infinite, unconditional love of God in Christ Jesus. I don't believe there's any more powerful thing in this world. I know it has grabbed a hold of me and it has affected me. And as many times as my brain tells me this can't be true, my heart just cannot believe it to be anything else. My life has been transformed, and I'm guessing many of yours has too, by this crazy thing we call the love of God. And I will be damned if we tell anyone they're not good enough for it. Oh my gosh. It is for everyone. It is for you, wherever you are today. It is for you. It is for me. It is for everyone we meet. Our job is not to decide whether they're in or out. Our job is to decide whether they need, what they need to change in order to be good enough to start being a part of this community. Our job is to say, come and join with us. It'll be messy, it'll be weird, and we'll do it together. And know, no matter what, that this table is not my table. It's not my decision who comes and who is welcome here. It is God's table, and he says to all, come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. So for everyone out there today, wherever you are, know that you are welcome. Come and receive if that is what your heart is called to do. Know that this is a place for you. And that no matter what you hear about the church, that this that we do together, this is it. And we'll keep doing it together, day in and day out. And my prayer and my hope is that more and more of the world will have the opportunity to experience that which we have shared together here this morning and every week and every day. And so I invite you to do that with me. Amen.